off until June before we turn on the AC. So we're doing okay, and it's going to work out. I really think so. And we watched the thermostat. I told her, honey, if the temperature shows that we're getting above 90 in the house, we'll go ahead and turn on the. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. Amen. But I'm not kidding, folks. There were times, some of y'all may remember, I put a picture on Facebook when we were back in Agadez. One day inside our house, it was 100 degrees inside the house. And boy, those were days I don't miss at all. And makes you appreciate things so much more. And we will turn off if it gets hot enough, but it's a good breeze and just beautiful, beautiful weather. I appreciate it. And got to get out on the bike a little bit to do my traveling. I rode up, visited Ms. Elizabeth on the Harley today, and I pulled up in there and I got up to the door and she said, I didn't know who that bad dude was coming up to my house. And she said, nah, I knew it was you. And so it was good to see Ms. Elizabeth. She sends her greetings and it's good to see her, and she's encouraged. We need to pray, Lord, allow her to come to church on Sunday. She's hoping that it'll work out where she can come and be a part of the Mother's Day service. So we definitely need to pray that way. But praise the Lord that God is continuing to heal that hip. We need to pray that she'll be encouraged. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles this morning, I didn't get a nap, okay? I'm tired. But this evening, back to Ecclesiastes is where we'll be again for a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Thank you for praying for my wife. She is feeling much better. In fact, she's here this evening and down with the peewees and working down there with those little ones. And so I'm thankful that God's hands healing upon her. And she even mentioned just earlier around the supper table, she says, oh boy, it just feels good to feel good again. She's been battling that cold and had a sore throat. We thought it was strep, but ended up just, I believe, as a result of God's healing, God's people praying, it just went away. It was hurting her. The fevers were there, and we just thought we were going to need to go ahead and take her to the doctor. So we said, well, let's wait one more day. So we sure did. We waited one day, and the next day she was feeling better. The fevers were gone, and her throat started feeling a lot better. So I believe that's God's people praying, and thank you for that very much. And I know she appreciates it as well. We're going to be back in Ecclesiastes just for a bit here. The context here is, we'll go ahead and read this verse and pray, and we'll get right into it. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Let's read that together, church. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting us be here on this Wednesday evening service. I want to thank you for this dear church, Lord, your church, a church you've blessed. And Lord God, a church that you are with. And I'm so thankful for your presence. I'm so thankful, Lord God, that you are with us. And Lord, I do pray tonight that you would work in hearts and my heart, and that you would just strengthen us in the faith, and bring us closer to yourself. And Lord God, help us to find strength in the time of battle, Lord, as the spiritual battles are raging. Lord, let us be reminded of the victory we have in Jesus' name. And Lord, that it is worth it to serve the King of Kings. And we do ask your blessings now upon your word and upon this time together. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we talked about last week, we reviewed the fact of what it simply means here in the passage where it talks about casting thy bread, which is the picture of something very valuable. It was the idea is the seed that would one day bring bread. And by the way, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when Solomon says here, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days, he's not talking about a seed that he's going to find again. He's talking about a harvest that he will find again one day. And that goes exactly with what we're trying to teach tonight, is the very fact that if we give our all, and that is casting the bread upon the waters, we know that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall find it after many days. And by the way, sometimes it is many days. In fact, sometimes from a human perspective, it's too many days. Some of those things you've been waiting on already and been praying about, things you've been expecting, perhaps somebody to get saved, perhaps somebody to get right with God, perhaps you're a special need that you have, and man, you've given all, and it's not there yet. Well, can I tell you? From the precept that we have that if you give yourself unto the Lord, get this, along with the precept comes the promise. It shall come. It will come, as the Word of God says. We will find it after many days. What a blessing that is. We have the precept, and that is giving your best no matter what. Now, you can apply this financially. You can apply this with time. You can apply this with your treasures and talents in different areas. You can make application. But when it comes right down to it, it's a giving of self. And that's exactly what the Lord expects of us. Giving of ourselves. So you see the precept, but then you see the promise. And by the way, this precept here says, when it says, cast thy bread upon the waters, that waters carries the idea of perhaps it looks like it's useless. Looks like it's a waste. And, you know, sometimes I've been out witnessing or sharing tracts with others or whatever, and you end up seeing, especially if you're doing an inner city work, you end up finding literature on the ground. Somebody you've given a tract to or information to, and they just thrown it on the ground. And you know, it's really easy and tempted to say, you know what? What's the use? But you know, Brother Eden's a veteran missionary over in North Africa, Niger, where we worked and worked with. He was up in an area, a little bit hostile, really, the northern part of the country, and they were distributing Bibles, and they got to a specific area, and at first, the men came and received the Bibles, but then they went back, and the village chief and others says, if you don't get that books back to that white man and those other men that were with him, You're going to regret it big time. And I guarantee you there was going to be some serious things take place. So they couldn't get them back fast enough. And they said, sir, they said, missionary, we don't want these things. And you take them back, and just threw them at them right on there on the ground. And in fact, one of them, even because he maybe wanted to be Mr. Bold and maybe he wanted to get extra credit with the marabou there, the imam, maybe wanted to get extra credit. He started ripping up pages of the Word of God right there in front of them. And I never forget what Brother David Evans told me. He said, Brother Brinson, he said, when I saw him ripping up that Bible, he had some Tuareg nationals with him that were born again out there doing missions work with him. He said, fellas, let's pray. They bowed their heads and Brother David prayed, said, Lord, I pray that you would bless every piece of that scripture that's being ripped up, and that that those individual pieces will represent the grain of the Word of God that will spread throughout this region, and that multitudes would be saved as a result. He prayed that prayer right there with those Tuaregs. And nothing happened at the time. They gathered them up and got as the best they could, and of course they had to leave. They were not welcome there. And so they did leave, and months later and years later, Brother Edens gets word from an indirect contact, but it was somehow found out that David was the missionary that was there a couple years previously. And the man said to the contact of Brother Eden, says, "You go back and tell him that thank you, first of all, for coming. But second of all," he said, "tell him that we are so, so sorry for the way we treated you when you came." He said, "I want you to know, since you've come, we have received your book again. The book that you brought, and we believe the book you brought is the truth." And as a result now of them going to that, they are hearing testimonies of multitudes up in that area, in that mountainous area where they went and were rejected, where people were receiving the Word of God and being saved. Now you see, the temptation would be for Brother Edens and those nationals to look and say, "Look, man, this thing's a waste. We're up here, they're rejecting. What good are we doing?" But you know, that's away from the promise that is given here. "Cast thy bread upon the waters." Places where it seems useless. What are you doing throwing your grain in the water? Useless. That's the way carnal people look at giving yourself wholly unto the Lord. That's the way definitely lost people think of it. But you know what? It's not a waste, because of the promise of God that says, wait for it. He says, "Ye shall find it after many days, and you'll find a harvest." And praise God for that great truth. Let me give you a couple of quotes from Spurgeon that I think will be an encouragement to you in the context of giving ourselves to the Lord and for the Lord's work. It says, listen to this, "I believe in God's blessing the actual work of our hand. He waters not the seed which we talk of sowing, but that we actually scatter." You get that? It's a difference between talking about the seed that you want to sow and actually scattering the seed. Casting our bread upon the waters. And folks, if you hadn't figured out by now, that is the vision that God has just impressed heavily upon my heart for our church, that we have got to take and cast the bread upon the waters. Whether we see results or not, I'm praying for results, and we've seen some, but that's not what I'm going to let be my motivation. I'm going to let my motivation be this verse right here and multitudes of others that promises us that if we will remain faithful, we shall reap if we faint not. All I got to say is, I believe it'll be worth it all. Every ounce of energy that we give for the gospel's sake, I believe it's going to be worth it all. I love that song, don't you? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. That's going to be a wonderful day. Let me give you another quote or two here. Spurgeon said, "When you are doing anything that is right, you cannot tell how much blessing you are scattering." You, listen to this, when you are doing anything that is right, you cannot tell how much blessing you are scattering. You're scattering a lot, folks. We are, as a church, seeking to do just that. We're seeking to scatter our blessings that God has given us. We want to give back. We want to abound, as Paul referred to the Macedonians, abound in this grace also. Hey, I don't know about you, but I want in on that grace also. And listen to this. Spurgeon also said, "We are only accountable for our labor and not for our success." Did you get that, church? We are only accountable for our labor, not for our success. In other words, one day when we stand before the Lord, God's not going to ask us about our successes. He's going to just hold us accountable for what we did. We leave the success up to the Lord. Whether He gives growth in His timing, that's up to the Lord. But we got to remain faithful to what the Lord tells us to do. Look with me over to the book of Luke, would you? Luke chapter 6. Luke Luke chapter 6. I'm just going to begin reading, and just for context's sake, let's just begin reading in verse 35, shall we? Luke chapter 6, verse number 35. The Bible says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." In verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now that verse 38 can be a parallel verse to our context verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. It carries the idea of giving of ourselves, of giving that which God has given us. And we know, bless God, what God has given us, it is just running over. If we were all completely honest with what God's blessed us with here in this room tonight, oh my. And what the Lord wants us to do is allow those blessings just to roll over into others and giving of ourselves. And we see here that it's not going to be wasteful. Anything we give to God will count for something. Every time you come here on your Grow Team Saturday, it's going to be worth it. It's accomplishing something for the glory of God. I'm telling you, friend, when you come here on Wednesday nights to grow in grace and to worship the Lord together and to pray together, I want to tell you there's going to be reward for that. Not that we do it for reward, but it's just a fact of the promise of God. We give of ourselves, we give of our treasures for the glory of God. How can we support missionaries that we'll talk about here in just a minute? How do we do that? We do exactly what the verse is talking about. What a wonderful truth that we see here, that what the Word of God is saying, these things that what's been given to us, we to give back. And what God is saying is like, you give it, and He said, I will make sure that your pockets are full. Now I'm not talking about that health and wealth gospel. That can be, people take this verse out of context, and man, they say, now listen, if you just follow the Lord, you're going to be filthy rich. Well, I agree to that to a degree, all right? I believe if you follow the Lord, you will be filthy rich spiritually. Because how richer can you get than being filled with the Holy Spirit? That's richness, my dear friend. And I'd rather have that than all the money in the world. I'd rather just have the Lord Jesus in the fullness of the Holy Ghost and watching God save souls that are headed to an eternal hell without any hope for all eternity. I'd rather see that. I'd rather be a part of that. And I'm glad God is letting our church be a part of something so special, so wonderful. Hey, folks, listen to think about this great truth. There are generations who are even unborn that just may reap the fruit that will come from the sowing we are doing now. Generations. If the Lord tarries His coming, which He very well could, and if He does, the generations to come will be reaping many things from what we're sowing right now. And we know that to be the truth.
Hey, listen, I don't know how many here tonight, and you forgive me if I embarrass you. I don't think it should embarrass you. It's something that will give glory to God. But let me ask this question to you folks tonight. How many here in the service tonight, you would say that you got saved as a result of the ministry of Crooked Creek Baptist Church? Either you could have been saved in Sunday school, you could have been saved in this service, BBS, camp, or anything like that, or even indirectly, you could have been come to Christ as a result of somebody from this church that witnessed to you or invited you to church. If that is you tonight, would you just slip up your hand? You say, look around, folks. Look at all these hands. Hold it up high so folks can see it. Look at that. You may put your hands down. That just gives me chills, folks. That just gives me chills. Listen, can you imagine over 200 years ago, perhaps there was a group of born-again, Spirit-filled believers who were gathered over here by Crooked Creek, who were praying to Almighty God, God, would you save souls even 200 years from now? Who people in the community probably laughed the church away. They were scarred because they let slaves come into their church and vote just like everybody else. They were probably looked at, everybody at church, you folks are crazy. You're never going to succeed. Look at us now, folks. Look what God has done. And look what God will do 200 years from now if the Lord tarries His coming. And I want to tell you, folks, I believe we just need to get to sowing the seed of the gospel and just believe that God is going to do wonderful and mighty things in the days to come. I believe that with all my heart, folks. As much as I'm breathing and standing here, I believe it. Because we're a living testimony of it. Half of you in this room raised your hand saying that you were born again. You know what you are? You are fruit. You are fruit of those dear people that were here 200 years ago that were praying and seeking God's face and asking Him to do a work of redemption in this community. And look at 200 years later. Tell me God doesn't hold to His Word. Hey friend, if that don't encourage you, listen, you need to get off the medicine you're taking. That right there is God's truth. And that should lift your spirits and to realize our work is not in vain. Give it all you have and I'm telling you, it will pay off. And that just doesn't come in the context of soul winning. That comes, dear parent, for you laboring hard with the children, training, discipling, encouraging, marriages. I mean, you go across the board. Grandparents who are investing in grandchildren. Hey, listen, just keep at it. You will reap the benefits and the rewards that God desires to give. What a glorious truth we have here tonight to hang upon as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. And thank Him that He promises to bless us and to bless our efforts. Maybe not in our day, but He says, ye shall find it. That might mean that my grandchild will find it. That might mean that my great-great-great-great-grandchild will find it. But I'm telling you, the Bible said somebody's going to find it. Isn't that something to rejoice in, friend? You say, Brother Brinson, why are you so excited on a Wednesday night? I don't know. I'm just thankful for the Word of God and the truth. And you say, well, why you got to be so loud? Well, I'm afraid if I don't just let it come out, I'm going to explode. And if that happens, that's not going to be pretty. But I'm excited about what the possibilities are for our church, folks. I can see it. Can you? Because here's the thing. I want to be kind here. Dear church, if you're having problems seeing it, you need to ask God, God, please, renew me. Renew my heart for the vision that I need to see You do a work in my life, my family's life, in this church as I sow the seed of the Word of God. As I sow truth in my life and the life of those around me, watch You work. That's what I'm talking about. I'm so thankful for what God can do as we will take Him at His Word and cast our bread upon the waters.
Can your preacher be completely transparent with you? Or have there been days, and will there be days, where I'm discouraged and think, hey, well, what use? This person's doing this. That person's doing that. This is that. You know, hey, well, what's the use? Yeah, there are days like that. But you know what happens? What happens is Brother Brinson has got away from the Word of God, and Brother Brinson is thinking upon his emotions. He's letting his emotions dictate the way he's going to live for the Lord. That's dangerous. You know, here in just a moment, we're going to be praying, folks. Tonight, let's pray with a prayer of thanksgiving. Yes, we're going to ask. We're going to petition before the Lord, but let's thank Him for what He's done and what He will do. You know, that's faith, folks, thanking God ahead of time for what He's going to do. Taking Him at His Word. That's not being boastful. God loves it when His children come confidently and boldly before the throne of grace. Hey, I'm telling you what, God wants us to do that. He wants us to be expecting Him to do great things. You know, we're going to be praying about VBS. Many of you I'm looking at here tonight are signed up, ready to go. And you're already planning a week of vacation right after that. A week of therapy. I don't know, one of the two. You know, we might get more people, Brother Jeff, to volunteer for VBS if we offer a free spa after the week of VBS, you know. Amen. But honestly, folks, we're praying for VBS. We're praying for God to do a special work. And the young lives, hey, who knows? We might have the little next C.H. Spurgeon come walking up at Crooked Creek Baptist Church this June, first week of June. We might have the next Hudson Taylor. We might have the next David Edens, who spent 40 years serving our Lord out in the Sahara Desert. We just might. We just might have. Hey, listen, I know a lot of us can be critical. I've heard critical things about Billy Graham. And I don't link up with everything he has said. But I want to tell you one thing. That is a man that has served the Lord for most of his life. And scores and scores and scores of people have been born again as a result of that man's ministry. Now, I'm not condoning some of his decisions in his later life, but I want to tell you, that shouldn't take away from the servant he was to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it even is today in so many ways. And I just wonder, perhaps maybe the next Billy Graham or someone of that nature is here. Perhaps they're right even here in the service. Some of these teenage boys sitting right up here on this front row. Some of these teenagers spread around throughout this auditorium. Who knows what God's going to do with their life as they give it unto Him? All I know, dear folks, is I'm just going to stand back and give God the praise because He can do it. I know if He can take somebody like me who was this close to going AWOL in the U.S. Coast Guard, getting kicked out as my second time, and was headed to nowhere. Somebody like me, God can reach down and save and call into the work of the ministry. I know what He can do. I know what He can do, and so do you from your own life and from what God has done in your heart. What a blessing that is. You know, speaking of VBS, listen, we were just talking about it in the director's conference the other night. This VBS just so happens, that I'm sure it happens like this from year to year, but this year it just seems a little bit more than usual, from what I hear. But there are like three, maybe four churches right here close together that are doing their VBS the same week. And I know sometimes it's worked out nicely because some of the kids have been able to go to each of the churches because they can sort of take turns and go each one. And I understand that. But this year it's a little different. And you know, part of me in my flesh was thinking, oh man, that was my flesh. You know what it should have been, and I've gotten right with God since. You know what my response is now, and our response should be tonight? Praise God. Praise God. The gospel's being preached all over this area community the same week. Hey, wouldn't it be great? Hey, wouldn't it be great if revival broke out in VBS? Why not? Wouldn't it be great? Hey, how old was Josiah when he became king, Brad? Put you on the spot here. 8 years old? He's close. That's close enough. You think we might have some 8-year-olds here this week coming up in VBS? Probably a bunch of those little knuckleheads running around. Hey, listen, you get the point. Look, God can even do a work of revival in that age group. And blessed be the God of heaven if He does. And I want Him to. Our teenagers, revival could very well break loose this coming week at VBS and coming up. And I believe that. I'm going to cast my bread upon the waters. And I know I'm going to find it. I know that I will find it after many days. However many days that is, that's up to God. But I'm going to look for it. And I hope tonight, if you gather anything from the message, I hope, number one, you're casting your bread upon the waters, no matter how useless it looks. And number two, please stay with me. I hope you're looking for it. You're looking for the harvest. You're waiting for it, trusting for God to be a God of His Word. Let's pray together. Father, help us, Lord, to practice, Lord, what we've heard tonight. Help me, oh God, to be an example unto the believers. And help us as a church, Lord, to cast our bread upon the waters, to know that we shall find it after many days. Lord, we commit ourselves to You tonight. We thank You for what You're going to do, even ahead of time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.